Coming up next on Art Focus, host Amanda Clem speaks with the organizers of the 5th Annual Portland Sex Workers Art Show, taking place at the Portland Institute of Contemporary Art.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Weird Portland Gala on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 11 p.m. at Polaris Hall in Portland. The Weird Portland Costume Gala and Live Auction will bring together many of Portland's notable eccentrics, including Mo Show the Cat Rapper, former Mayor Bud Clark, Rojo the Llama, Mr. Statue, and Portland's own Elvis. Again, that's the Weird Portland Gala on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 11 p.m. at Polaris Hall, 635 North Killingsworth Court in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio at KBOO 90.7 FM and online at kboo.fm. You're listening to Art Focus, and I am Amanda Clem. Today, we are talking about the exhibition No Human Involved, the 5th Annual Sex Workers Art Show at PICA, Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, with Kat Salas, the co-director of Stroll PDX and the co-curator of the show, and Roya Amira Soleimani, who is the co-artistic director at PICA. No Human Involved is an exhibition that speaks to dehumanizing socio-political systems and cultural conditions through the artistic voices and viewpoints of sex workers themselves. And so for many of our listeners, this might be the first time they're hearing about Stroll PDX completely, and much less about this art show that has actually occurred before. So Kat, will you tell us a little bit more about Stroll PDX for our listeners who aren't familiar with the program at all?
Yes, absolutely. So kind of in a nutshell, Stroll is a harm reduction outreach and education group run by and for sex workers. And over the past 5 years, we've done programming all around Portland, not limited to our annual sex worker art show. We've also organized protests during March, directly after FOSTA and SESTA were passed. We have run sex worker support groups. We have collaborated with SWAP, which is Sex Workers Outreach Project. And we also publish a quarterly zine called Working It, which is a zine by and for sex workers. And it's been a really exciting process to get involved with some organizations that we haven't been able to connect with in the past and move on to a really new and exciting chapter of what folks can do when they collaborate.
That's really exciting. That brings us to my question now, which is, how did PICA become involved?
Sure. So I can start. I had the fortunate experience of seeing the 4th annual Sex Workers Art Show that was put on by Stroll, and the panel discussion with some of the artists that Kat had moderated, with a focus on artists and sex workers of color, and sort of a conversation around doing sex work under white supremacy and its conditions. And it was a phenomenal conversation that I felt really opened up all of these inquiries into sort of the socio-political and cultural contexts that inform how the art world functions as an exclusive space as well, and who is and is not included in art world narratives. So, you know, along with sex work also being a really misunderstood kind of narrative too, and kind of realm of culture. So I approached Stroll immediately, a cat specifically, after seeing that panel discussion and seeing the work of the artists in the show, because I had put on 4 annual art shows previous to the one we're about to do. And we started a conversation about what it might look like for PICA as an established nonprofit art, contemporary art center and institution, working with Stroll on really Stroll's terms around what they would want to see a larger scale sex workers art show look like and feel like, having access to PICA's massive warehouse space, its staff, its funding, its budget, its visibility, its marketing tools, etc. And what would a collaboration over the next year really look like, and who else might be involved, and how how we would expand out possibilities for creating context around the exhibition itself and the ideas behind it, and how we support artists, especially artists who are sex workers, and kind of economizing the whole project.
Mm-hmm. Is PICO wage certified?
We're not wage certified, but we do meet wage requirements.
Would you talk about that a little bit specifically? So in terms of supporting artists and in making their art, what were the processes then when you were working with PICA to, you know, you had more resources available to you? What did that look like in terms of the call for entry and how that worked?
Sure. It was definitely a shift from going to sort of seeing how much money myself and Matilda had together to pay artists to actually having funding, which was a huge gift and something we're really, really excited about. But it also came with a lot of critical thinking on how to distribute that and what it looks like to really have a budget. And so we sat down and decided to go with an equity-based or an equity-adjusted version of the wage model. And for those of you that aren't familiar, wage stands for working artists in the greater economy. And it basically gives sort of like an idea of, based on how much an institution's annual budget is, what they should be paying folks for certain things. The one thing it doesn't do is talk about where things like equity and reparations come into play mm-hmm. when you are paying artists. Mm-hmm. And so in our personal practice of paying artists, we made sure to base it loosely on the wage model, but also understand the complex politics that go into different folks from different backgrounds making art, and the fact that all labor is not equal, because the stress of labor done under white supremacy is different than the stress of labor done under lesser white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And so adjusting that for other, it's not just white supremacy, it's also under whatever sociopolitical climate that affects the folks that are creating art, we were able to sort of structure it so that, well, I guess, structure in a way that's mindful of folks' backgrounds mm-hmm. and what it means for folks to be creating art for us. And I think that's something that's really interesting, because it's really rare to see a institution that's as large as PICA do the work that they did with us to really make sure that we are talking reparations, because it's not the most comfortable conversation to have when you're talking about paying artists.
Right.
But pushing through that and being able to really make sure that that's something that we're doing, I think is one of the, from a curatorial standpoint, one of the most interesting parts of the show.
It's been really, really important to us with this project, with any project, but in this project, being attentive to the power dynamics and the need for transparency right. and a thoughtfulness and a consciousness around what it means for a larger institution to be programming and presenting with Stroll and with this group of artists. And so anyone who is participating in any event or the exhibition itself is being paid. Mm-hmm. And we also are ensuring that most of the public programming is ASL interpreted. So that's another point of access that we're prioritizing. So please, for listeners who are needing or are connected to deaf and hard of hearing communities, the live events will be ASL interpreted.
One thing that I do want to say, coming from an organization that would be considered pretty, you know, classic grassroots, like punk rock moment, where we're paying for our own zines, making our own zines, figuring out how to pay artists, posting art up wherever. Like, it was really intimidating to be approached by Portland Institute of Contemporary Art, for sure. Absolutely. Because you're just thinking, you're kind of there and you're thinking, what is actually happening?
Yeah.
And I think that any large institution that has a chance to come to the show and see the way that PICA supported us should definitely do it, should definitely ask questions, and should definitely take notes, because it has been like one of the coolest experiences, and one of the only times where, even like with collaborating with, you know, small venues, that I feel like we have really been seen as like partners mm-hmm. and not projects. And that's been something that's been really, really cool.
Yeah.
And if you are an organization that is a grassroots organization that wants to talk to us about our experience in working with a large institution, or wants to see kind of what happens, or like, why, you know, how did we adjust to feeling definitely like some fishes out of water? I think that this show really will inspire you and show you what is possible when communities are able to link up with folks with funding that truly support them. It's a great demonstration, I think, of honest allyship and what that looks like. And so I definitely would invite anyone who's working with marginalized communities or who's on the other end working with large institutions and feeling intimidated to come out, ask questions, see what we have to offer. Our panel that we have on the final day, the 9th, touches a lot on what that looks like and what that means. So
that's perfect.
That's great.
The art business and the sex work business, it's a parallel I had never thought to consider before. And the limitations, do you feel like Portland is a community in which like these topics become part of the greater conversation and destigmatized because you're now involved with, you know, really renowned institution in town? And do you feel like that?
Yeah, I can totally see kind of where you're coming from, mm-hmm. and you can definitely adjust me if I'm going down the wrong path.
Yeah,
absolutely. I will say, for as far as if I feel like, as someone who's been doing this for a few years, working with PICA is maybe destigmatizing it. I think that is a really good question. I feel like, honestly, at this point, like, you can go online and see 1,000 millennials in Lucite heels quoting Cardi B. So I don't know if, like, PICA is really doing, like, the large amount of labor. But I think what they are changing is, and a focus of our show, is that when folks think about sex work in the United States, when folks important think about sex work, a lot of the time it's fairly homogenous in the experiences that people have. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time it's also fairly glamorized, or it's maybe a bit misinformed. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we focused on as curators is to making sure that we are truly paying homage to the individual narratives of the folks in sex work. And that we are trying to create an exhibition where you'll learn something, you'll be surprised. It is definitely not what you expect. And so I think in that, they're maybe not necessarily assisting in destigmatizing sex work, because I feel like in a lot of ways that's happening, but they're bringing awareness with us to the fact that sex work actually isn't that destigmatized. It's only if you're a certain, you know, race, type of body, doing an acceptable form of sex work, making the right amount of money, mm-hmm. being in the right area, that people find it to be palpable. And when you step outside of that, you see that destigmatizing the top tier of sex work does not necessarily, in fact, absolutely doesn't lead to decriminalizing or making the lives easier for people like street-based sex workers, trans folks who are sex workers, mm-hmm. you know, full-service sex workers in general. Mm-hmm. And having that larger conversation around what it means to support versus what it means to be an activist within a community is something that I think this show really touches on.
That's cool.
And I'm grateful for a large organization to really take us on, because, you know, getting in bed with hookers isn't necessarily the thing that every single art institution wants to do. And they really pick it for us, which has been great. And, you know, that's something that I never expected, because our last shows were definitely sort of a, you know, calling up every venue in town, like, hey, could we have a sex worker art show? Could we put some sex worker art? Oh, no, okay. Like, you know, and that for that shift, I hope that, you know, that has been something that maybe they've destigmatized working with us in their own community.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it's not something you see every day.
No, it's very grassroots effort there. So speaking of other venues, where have been previous shows?
Shout out PCC Cascade, yeah, for letting us have 2 shows there. Both of which were in, like, the student union, and they were just sort of, like, an hour or two.
Okay.
Kind of pop people up. Bringing in whoever wants to bring in art, we put it up. And then the last one we had was at Sanctuary, and that was the one that we had the panel on as well. So cool. Shout out Sanctuary for letting us do that last year. And
so there, how did you select the artists for the exhibition? I think you said they're not all locals. They're nationally based.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do a nationwide call for entry?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah,
we worked together, Kat, Matilda, and myself, so across both Stroll and PICA, mm-hmm. to put out the call to through social media and, you know, email and kind of all of our channels to reach a broad base of artists who are sex workers across. And really, the call was international. We ended up with just artists who are based in the U.S., mm. Although you know, the cultural backgrounds of the artists are really broad and diverse. And we emphasized, not exclusively, but really prioritized artists who identify as Black, Brown, Indigenous, queer, trans, non-binary, and disabled. Mm-hmm. We invited people to submit images or video or kind of other visual support material of their work that they wanted included in the show. But we also asked for artist statements and sort of narratives around how they're seeing a connection between their artistic practice and their work in the sex work industry right mm-hmm. now, and really getting at some of the kind of conceptual and kind of political underpinnings around that intersection. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to say that from the outset, we were not looking to make a show about sex work. And we've said this in some of our materials that are out there, in that, you know, it's not expected that someone just represent some sort of like sex work narrative or story or kind of or personal relationship to it. So the forms and disciplines that are represented in the exhibition are really broad. The kind of points of view, the artistic points of view of the 16 artists are also really far ranging. And the artists come from all over the US. They're of different ages. They're working in different contexts. They work as sex workers in different ways. Some of them are former sex workers. A lot of them are currently sex workers. And it's not just an identity politics show by any means. Mm-hmm. It's much, much more than that. It's not just a topical thematic show.
Mm-hmm. That sounds exciting. Can we talk a little bit more about the themes in some of the work and like how maybe a couple that come to mind?
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of programming associated with it, which we'd love to get to in a little bit. But first, yeah, if there are any in particular that you want to talk about.
All right. So the range of work in the exhibition is quite broad and representative of how expansive contemporary practices in the arts can be. The show includes work in performance art, video, new media, sculpture, installation, textile, painting, drawing, photography, and printmaking.
Wow.
Again, from artists who are both local to Portland as well as from throughout the US. And then we have, in terms of kind of some of the ideas and themes running through it, it's so broad, from some more direct, perhaps direct commentary on kind of sex work experience to experience around gender and sexuality and individual narrative mm-hmm. and relationships to family and parents and cultural heritage and the complex experiences therein. Mm-hmm. There's work that engages more humorously, like kind of dark humor around sort of the state of sex work and what a sex worker might be contending with right now in sex work today or in the sex work industry at this point in time. And there's work that really looks kind of at the intersections of race and gender and how that shows up really not just in sex work specifically, but in the world more broadly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most important things that people can walk away with, is a sort of understanding or recognition or realization that the politics of sex work and the ways in which artists who happen to also be sex workers are engaging with ideas and concepts and politics through their practice mm-hmm. are reflective of the world at large and the art world at large. Sex work is not divorced from any other realm in which we're talking about, you know, how the world is functioning or dysfunctioning
sure,
right now.
Sure.
And it's also not divorced from the politics of the art world,
right.
which, you know, need and deserve and require a lot of unpacking and kind of deconstruction and interrogation at this point. So.
We are really excited to be premiering a film by Amanda Lee that touches on the politics of being it's a split screen film that involves herself and also her mother talking about the experience of being trans and also having a trans daughter. It's extremely emotional, beautiful, and vulnerable. And I think it's something that a lot of folks could relate to. We also have a local artist, Kath Bodwin, back again. They have been part of our show for the past 2 years. Their work is a display of celestial eroticism It's larger than life, beautiful colorways, definitely something that takes up space unlike anything you've ever seen. And we're very excited to have Juice Box back again. She's coming from New Orleans. She came last year and premiered her film, The Tale of the Pretty Black Ass, which she will be premiering again along with some other new work. It's definitely something that you can see only here, so
worth noting. That's going to be on the opening.
Yeah.
Friday, November 8th. Oh, that's, yeah, which other artists are involved? So coming from New Orleans and anywhere else?
Yeah, so we also have an artist, Brittany Marie Chavez, based in Brooklyn, who has a video piece in the show. We have photography by Palace de la Garza, who's based in the Southwest. We also have Eva Covia and Bane Belladonna, two collaborators on video art from based in L.A., Satya, who is an artist based in the Bay Area, who will be here in person, and a couple of performance works by local artists, Delirium and Philip Edward King. So any live projects will happen over the course of either the opening of Friday the 8th or Saturday the 9th, which is part of our kind of larger program of symposia and live and public events mm-hmm. for the project at large.
Great. Okay, I'm going to jump around a little bit because I want to get into the programming too, but let's mm-hmm. go back up to the exhibition title.
Yeah. Okay.
No Human Involved.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. What does that mean?
So the title No Human Involved is a reference to a kind of slang code or phrase that has been used by police over the last few decades. It kind of came to use in the 70s by the LAPD and really took off in the 1980s. No Human Involved, which can also be shortened to NHI, refers to crimes, often murder or injury or other harm to sex workers, but also to other communities and folks who are historically marginalized. Mm-hmm. So people who use drugs, people who are members of gangs, people who are transient or houseless. Those murders are considered by a lot of police and law enforcement to essentially be not worth investigating because those lives are not considered human enough or valuable enough, right? So it's reflective of, again, these kind of broader conditions and mentalities that where everything converges, mm-hmm. right? Like capitalism, heteropatriarchy, white supremacy, misogyny, and how that kind of creates the conditions in which, in this case, what we're looking at is how sex workers are treated and viewed. And this isn't a show about sex work as in a thematic way. Mm-hmm. And it's not a show that is about necessarily the literal ways in which No Human Involved has manifested in crime, right? But there are a lot of books, media, research, literature that actually do look at those things. And we're going to have those resources posted to PICA's website. Take a look at that mm-hmm. because the title or term No Human Involved has actually been reclaimed and used by artists and activists and researchers for some time now. But what we're interested in terms of the exhibition title is really just speaking to how that is a mentality and a condition and a context in which sex workers are living, surviving, thriving, not living, not surviving, not thriving, and how people and how people, you know, may not even be aware. This show is really about how artists who are also sex workers are in how their lives and their artistic viewpoints are in conversation with social and political cultural conditions that are informed by something like NHI and that mentality.
Right. I would also say the title, outside of being part of like a greater lineage and lexicon of work that has existed around commenting on No Human Involved, the title in itself, standalone, contrasts the work so vividly because the specific types of work in the show are so non-homogenous, so focused on personal, unique experience, so vulnerable that you can't help but be hit by the fact of how ridiculous that mentality is.
Right.
And hopefully think more actively and critically about why it exists and how it affects folks that are doing sex work.
Mm-hmm. We definitely want the title to spark a conversation and critical reflection, and that the overall program, the exhibition, and all of the public programs affiliated with it mm-hmm. are an opportunity for education and dialogue yeah. and not just a passive experience like walk in, walk out mm-hmm. to a gallery. How are people going to think about this beyond the time that they spend right. at PICA, right?
Which is why including so much additional programming and also the publication that you spoke about earlier, the zine, which I would love to talk about too. So there's a lot of going on November 8th. That's this Friday, starting at 6:00, the opening reception. And the curators and artist remarks at 6:30. And then the performances begin at 7:15 and go through the night. And then the symposium, can you talk a little bit about that and what that is going to look like and how listeners can attend and get involved?
Yeah, I can start with November 6th, and that is Wednesday this week, November 6th. We have an opening kind of keynote lecture in partnership with PNCA's Critical Studies Program and the chair of that program, Shauna Lipton, who partnered with us to present this. The lecture is by Emmy Koyama, who is a Seattle-based writer, activist, scholar, and sex worker, and does a lot of work kind of at the intersection of all of these things, kind of social justice work. At that point of convergence. And Emmy's going to be giving a talk about her current practice and research, and that will kick things off. And then November 7th,
we hit the ground running with a panel entitled The Politics of Desire. A few of our artists, Sathya and Juicebox, are going to be part of the panel, as well as other folks from the community. It is predominantly, but not all, a POC panel, and it's touching on sort of the intersection of technology, politics, and what it means to be selling sex under those things. It starts at 6:30 and it runs to 8. It's also going to be a dry event, so a great opportunity to come to listen. There will be some time for open questions, and everyone is welcome at this event.
You mentioned Friday the 8th being our big opening night for the exhibition itself, which will include remarks from all of the curators and the artists. Some of the artists will be present. There will be some live performance, and Father Fanny will be DJing from 9 p.m. to midnight. Fun. So 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. is more of a formal reception, and then 9 p.m. we'll get a little bit looser and we'll go late, and that's all at PICA, 15 Northeast Hancock Street. And Saturday is really a day of programs that are more focused on the intersection of art, activism, and independent publishing in sex work or by sex workers. There's a long, rich history of this, and it includes Working It, which is a zine that Stroll has been putting out, a compilation of critical and creative writing by sex workers that's been active the last several years. And PICA is helping to produce a very special edition of this in collaboration with Rose Norden, an artist who is based in London, who's now here in town in Portland, working with Stroll as we speak at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, which is a partner on this project. We're really pleased to be working with them. They are helping to provide space, staffing, tools, materials, and equipment to make a risograph printed edition of Working It that include and art by sex workers. It's intended for other sex workers, but also a broader community to engage with sex workers' thinking, writing, and illustration, and kind of other artistic forms, poetry even. And that's all going to be printed and released and available for sale and free to sex workers on Saturday the 9th at PICA. We'll kick off that day, Saturday the 9th, with that release party. Rose Norden will give a talk about her own practice in kind of radical community publishing. And then we'll have a panel discussion with the curators from Stroll and PICA and Rose on our collaboration at large and kind of a reflection on what that's been like. And we'll finish with a performance that's part of the exhibition, a performance lecture by Philip Edward King. And that will be our afternoon of programming on Saturday the 9th that wraps up the symposium. And then the show at PICA will be up through December 14th.
Great. That's awesome. Pat and Roya, thank you so much for being on Art Focus today. It was a real pleasure talking with you. Yeah, thank you. This has been Art Focus with Amanda Clem, talking with Kat Solis, co-director of Stroll PDX, and Roya Amira Soleimani from the Portland Institute of Contemporary Art about the upcoming exhibition No Human Involved, the 5th Annual Sex Workers Art Show. Please note, too, that there is an 18 and up age advisory for the exhibition. So for more information about the show and about the associated programming, please visit pica.org. That's PICA.org. Thank you for listening to KBOO Community Radio.
Andy Whoa looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Outside the Frame Migration on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Outside the Frame trains homeless and marginalized youth to be directors of their own films and lives. Their annual gala showcases a collection of short films by and about invisible communities in plain sight, young Honduran trans women who walk to Oregon, houseless folks forced to migrate in their hometown, and much more. Again, that's Outside the Frame Migration on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about